How are y'all doing? So I really did get into the canon. And I really did get out of the canon. If you're here last week, you heard Bella say that when you come out of that canon, you come out at 9 G's of force. And you land at 11 G's. Well, I got into the canon at 0 G's. And I got out of the canon at 0 G's. And my stunt double, who is kind of a dummy, flew through the air on my behalf. Now, the reason when I was in the canon that nothing happened was that nobody pulled the switch while I was there. There was no power to the canon. And here's the application. That when your life has no power, you're living at 0 G's. And we're going to be talking about power today. We're kicking off a series called In the Zone, and we're really talking about being in the zone of power. I don't know how you got up this morning. I don't know how you're planning to get up tomorrow morning or the rest of this week. But God would like you to get up in great power. He'd like you to live a life of incredible, abundant power. On your seats is a card that we'd like you to put somewhere for the series and a theme scripture. In fact, if you can pull this out, we want to read this together. It's a promise of power. Greater power than you could ever generate yourself. And here's what it says. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Now, because this verse is about power, we have to read it like we have some of it. Okay, so here we go. Ready? Here we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. In the zone of power. Athletes talk about being in the zone. They're playing the same game, but there's an energy that they have. Things come together. And musicians talk about being in the zone, that they'll be playing maybe a piece they've played many times, but they're in the zone and everything is coming together. Well, God would like you to be in His zone, in the zone of power. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some keys, some doorways into that power. So each week we're going to open up a door, a teaching, and we're going to start with today's door, today's key of power. And the door we're opening today to understand this pathway to power that God has for all of us is the pathway and the key and the door that is surrender. Great prayer to pray, an old song of the church. I surrender all. In the world we live in, power comes through domination, through control, through getting something over on someone. But in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, kingdom comes through this word called surrender. In fact, in God's world, the greater you surrender, the greater power that flows through you. And we're going to open our Bibles to the first few chapters of the book of Acts, the first chapter and the second chapter. And the story is that Jesus died on the cross during the festival of Passover. He came out of the tomb and was seen for 40 days. And then he says, I want to give you some instructions on this path to power. Here's the thing we learn. We learn that this path to power, this doorway to power, this key to power comes through surrendering our decisions and our choices to God's guidance. That we have to listen to what he instructs us to do. And if we really want to receive the power, we have to say, yes, Lord, I hear you and I am going to follow your guidance. Listen to these instructions. Actually, a command that Jesus gave in the first chapter of Acts to his followers. If you want to receive this power, here's what you have to do. He was staying with them and he ordered them. This is strong language. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. That's the promise of power, which he said and which you heard from me. Verse 5. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John was a baptizer in water. How many of you, put your hands up, have been baptized in water? When we baptize in this church, we soak you. It's not a little dabble do you kind of baptism. The Greek word is baptizo, and it means to be overwhelmed. In fact, if you need to be baptized or would like to be baptized, at the end of this month, we're baptizing in the Gulf of Mexico, and when we get you there, we will soak you. And that's the picture. As John the Baptist soaked with water, overwhelmed with water, Jesus wants to overwhelm and soak you individually and us together in the power of his Spirit. But in order to receive that power, they had to listen to the instruction. And the instruction was, stay here in Jerusalem. Now let's do some math together. Some of you just love math. Jesus was crucified at Passover. He rose from the dead and was seen for 40 days by 500 people, the Bible tells us. 500 people witnessed Jesus, eyewitnesses. He then gave this instruction, wait in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost took place 50 days after Passover. Jesus was around for 40 days. So 50 minus 40, okay, 10 days. Someone said 12, that's the new math. That's that core math. That's the new kind of way to do things. Get this number. This is a very important number. Jesus was seen by 500 people. And he gave an invitation, I think, to the majority of those people. Some of you know the number. How many people followed his instruction and stayed in Jerusalem and were in the upper room 10 days later? How many? 120. 500 minus 120 is 380. Now, I don't know if all of those 380 received this invitation, but I would say a lot of them did. Not everyone. I want to show this. Not everyone that received the guidance surrendered to it, and they missed out on one of the greatest spiritual happenings on the planet for all time, because they didn't surrender to this moment of instruction. They didn't surrender and they didn't show up at the right place. Now, God has a right place for you to be. And when you get up on any given day and you feel this lack of power, when you feel this, I have no spiritual energy at all, at that moment, you should ask God, what instruction, what guidance do you have for me today? Because I promise you, he has a place of power for you. Because the promise is that you would receive power. Now, it may mean a change in geography. Lord, I'm in this place. How many know there are some bad places? And some of you, when you get into them, you know you're in a bad place, and you know the people, the activities. This is a negative place, and there is no spiritual power in this place. And he'll say, get out of there. There are some good places to be. You happen to be in one now. So maybe when you're, maybe the instruction is go to church. That's a good place. Maybe it's to go to a small group. We're going to emphasize small groups, connect groups next weekend. Sometimes it's to get out of the place you are and to go to a better place. Sometimes it's not shifting or changing geography. Sometimes it's changing your point of view, the way you're looking at things. That's the guidance you'll receive. You need to change the way you're looking at this. Or you need to change the way you're thinking about this. But there will be an instruction from God to get you to the place of power. I promise you, there is a place of power for you. Every single day, there is a place of power for you. And we need to follow that instruction. Now you say, well, Scott, how do I... get guidance from God? That's a good question. And there's a lot of ways. Let me tell you the primary way to get guidance from God is to read God's book of instructions, his book of guidance, to read and to study. It's why every time we come together, we open up this book and we say, Lord, what guidance are you giving to us? In fact, he's actually giving us some guidance right now. He's saying, there is a place of power and I'm calling you to it. That's guidance is going on in this room right now. Now, you can receive it and move into it, or you can go, But if you want the power that is promised, you've got to read his word. And when you find stuff in there, do it. Don't just study about it. Like when you see about giving your life to Christ, do it. When you see in there about loving your enemies, do it. That's guidance from God. Now, another way is to listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, that he will speak to you and get you to the right place that you need to be to experience the power that he wants to give in any given moment. Years ago, I was visiting a man in the hospital. His wife and he had come to church for many, many years. He was in the hospital for something that wasn't really that serious, but I went to see him, and I visited with him, and I prayed with him, and I read scripture, and I left his room. I thought it was a good visit, and I was halfway down the hall, and I heard that inner guidance from God, and here's what I heard very clearly. Go back to that room and talk to him about salvation. And I said, God, he has been in church almost every weekend. He's heard me talk about salvation. He's been there when I've prayed the salvation prayer probably hundreds of times. I'm sure he's okay. It's never good when you argue with God. Let me show you. When you're arguing with God, you're not surrendering. And the best thing to say is, yes, Lord, not, well, God, you don't know things I know. So I did. I turned around. I went back in the room. And I said, hey, I was halfway down the hall, and I really felt a strong inner voice say to come back and talk to you about salvation. You've heard me talk about salvation. You've heard me talk about if you give your heart to Christ, that he will give you his life, that heaven can be your home. I said, have you ever prayed from your heart the prayer of salvation? And he said, no, I haven't. I felt like saying, you turkey. We pray it every week. I said, but I just said, would you like to pray it? He said, I would. And we prayed. And Jesus met that man in that hospital room. And it seems a little overdramatic, but this is the way the events unfolded. That night, though the illness wasn't that serious, that was his last night on the planet, because he stepped from this world into heaven because I happened to be at the right place at the right time. Let me talk to you about number two. It's surrendering to the timing of God. Surrendering to God's guidance but also surrendering to God's timing. Listen to how the story unfolds. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 says, when the day of Pentecost, that was a religious festival in the city of Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now let's do some math again. 40 days Jesus appeared. He then gave instructions to wait in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost came on 50 days after Passover. So they were in that upper room for how many days? 10 days. And it was important that they stayed in that room. I don't know, but I think it's highly likely that more than 120 started in that room. Because I just know people. I just know them. And they're like, oh, you know, I got something to do today. And well, I didn't know it was going to be more than a day we'd have to be here. There's a game on. And I just got up like a huge TV that's the size of Missouri. I'll be with you in spirit. But I can't be there physically because something else is more important. But 120 followed the guidance of God and followed the timing of God. They waited for 10 days. Let me show you this, that to experience the power that is promised, it's very important that you're in the right place at the right time. And I put in your study guide a verse I love to think about from Galatians. It says, just keep on doing the right thing. Keep on praying, keep on serving, keep on loving. Don't become weary in well-doing, because in due season, this is God's timing. And God's timing is not always your timing. And I would just say this, brothers and sisters, dear friends, don't give up too soon. Imagine the person that bailed on day 9. I thought it would be a week or less. And I waited 2 more days. I know I got to go home. I got kids. Some reason. Something. Something became more important than being in the right place at the right time. And they missed this huge empowerment. One of the greatest things that happened on the planet up to that point, when he poured his power into that room. Now, why did God make them wait 10 days? Is it because God likes the number 10? He does. God must like the number 10. He gave you 10 fingers, or 8 and 2 thumbs, however you count. He gave you 10 toes. He gave 10 commandments. So why 10 days? Why was 10 days God's number? Why do I have to wait 10 days? Like what? 10? 10 is why? Well, I'll tell you why 10. Because he was waiting for the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover, and it was important that he wait till the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you why. Because on the day of Pentecost, the streets were full of people. Now get this. The power doesn't show up until you're close to the people who need it. The power is not for the upper room. The power is not for this room, though there is some ministry that needs to take place in this room and some powerful things that need to happen. But you need to be empowered so that you will be an influence, or what he calls a witness in Acts 1 and 9, that you will be an influence wherever you go. In Jerusalem, that's where you are all the time. That's your like home base of operation, maybe where you go to work, maybe where you go to school. Judea, the neighborhood next door. Samaria, the people you don't like. That was Samaria, was the people they didn't like. They didn't even think about being an influence to Samaritans. But he said, no, you're going to be an influence, a witness to them, and wherever you go on the planet. And he's saying to them, you need to, wherever you go, there are going to be people who have need. And if you want to increase the level of power in your life, and I hope there's a strong, yes, Lord, I want to do that, be around the people that God is trying to help. The day of Pentecost came and the streets were filled with people who had traveled from all over the world to be there on that day. A week earlier, they weren't there. They were at home. It's like going to game day. You know, when they open up the stadium, the streets are plugged. All of a sudden, people are selling where every inch of parking close to the stadium. They're like, $5, you can park here. All of a sudden, that becomes the center. And here's what happened. Jerusalem on that day was a center of people. And that's when God wanted to send his power, because his power comes to help people. So Peter wasn't there yet. Peter receives the power of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, but he comes down to the street and talks about Jesus. That's why the power was there. And if you want to experience the power of God, be in the right place at the right time. And I'm going to tell you exactly where that place is. I'm going to tell you exactly what time that is. That is in the place and time that people need help. You get that? You want the power of God? Be in the place and at the time that people need help, and God's power will come as you follow his guidance to be close to those people in the time that they need help. I promise you this, that people in this fellowship, people in this church that give their time to help others experience more of God's power than people who don't. It's why we're constantly calling you to serve. It's not just because, well, we'll fall apart without you. It's because we know that as you show up at the place that people need help, at the time that people need help, that's when the Holy Spirit gives you power to help them. So they surrendered to the guidance of God. They surrendered to the timing of God. And they surrendered to the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says that they were. I love this. And they were, what's that word? And they were, I love that, all. I love that word. What does that mean? That means that in this room, it's God's plan for every single person listening. How many would say that you would be included in all the people in this room? Put up your hand. You do. You're part of that. That means you are available for this power. When God gives power, he's not going, I'm going to give it to this side of the room, but not this side of the room. He wants to give you his power today. So that happens when you listen to his guidance, when you're in the right time, and you submit to his Spirit. Here's a few things that happen. If you read this story, in Acts chapter 2, it says there was the sound in that room, in that upper room where they had been praying for 10 days. There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Why a mighty rushing wind? Because God was starting something brand new. He was giving new life on the planet, just like he had done in the book of Genesis. When he created humanity and he formed us out of the dust of the earth, what did he do? God leaned over and he breathed into that dusty dirt, and that became a living soul. Humanity was born when God's breath entered creation. The Hebrew word is ruach, the breath of God. The Greek word is pneuma, and that's the word that's here, this wind, this breath. Because God was starting a new life on the planet. He was breathing his breath upon humanity. And here's an important truth that you need to catch. While I've been speaking, how many of you have been breathing? Put up your hand. Those who didn't put up your hand, we need to check you right now. We just need to check you. If someone asks you, hey, what do you do for a living? Say, I breathe. Because that's what you literally breathe to live, right? And here's the truth. This wind is that it's not just a once-in-a-while experience with the Holy Spirit or a once-in-a-while encounter with the power of God. God would like it to be an ongoing fact in your life that the power of the Holy Spirit is overwhelming you frequently, just like you breathe the breath of God. And if it's been a long time in your soul, today is the day for you to be part of the all and say, I surrender to the Spirit of God. Oh God, breathe on me. There was fire. It says that on every person you could see like some fire. Why fire? I'll tell you why. Because fire heats things up. There are three, the Bible teaches there are three spiritual temperatures that are present in this room. Three. And you have one of them. And if I had a spiritual thermometer, which I wish I had, I would love to do a checkup. I'd like to line you all up. When you go into the doctor and they're going to give you any kind of checkup, what do they do? They take your, why? Because they want to see how you're doing. Oh, I wish we could do that on the way into church. Because there are people who are here who are stone cold. The Bible talks about the love of many growing cold. And there are cold people. And we take your temperature cold. We need to pray for you. Cold people are going, I wish he was done 5 minutes ago. How long is this thing going to go? I thought this was much shorter than it is. There are also the miserably lukewarm people. The Bible says you sort of love God, but you kind of love a lot of other things too. And it's a very bad place to be. In fact, Jesus says that the lukewarm people are so miserable that he wants to, King James is so kind on the way the King James phrases this, that he wants to spew you out of his mouth. The newer translations use the word vomit. Isn't that graphic? See, the old King James, old English people, they're so refined. Well, jolly good. I'm not feeling so well. I'm just going to go to the loo and I'm going to spew in the loo. I'll be back for a cup of tea after. Spewing. No, it's a strong, the Greek word is a strong word. He says, when you are lukewarm, you are miserable and God's miserable with you. Then there are the people that are burning red hot. That's what the fire is about. This means you have a passion in your soul. And the way we know that is fire spreads. Right? When you are so empowered, so energized that you also energize others, then we know you've got it. Because fire spreads. When you are witnesses in Jerusalem, where you happen to be, in Judea, where you're going this afternoon, in Samaria, to those people you're not even thinking about reaching, and to the othermost parts of the world, when it is spreading, we know that the power is alive in you. So we have to surrender to the breath, the life of God. We have to surrender. Here's a great prayer. Oh God, if your passion has grown cold, if your heart has got lukewarm, the prayer you absolutely should pray before you leave this room is, oh God, I surrender to the fire of the Holy Spirit. Or just fire me up. Because I don't want to be miserably lukewarm anymore. So there was this wind of the Spirit that came in. There was this fire of the Spirit that was present. And then there was this language of the Spirit. And I'm going to teach during this series on spiritual language. It'll be a whole lesson. And so suffice it to say at this moment is that God wants you to submit your language to God. Because when God has your language, you will be an influence. You influence people by the words you say and the attitude you bring into every room. So Peter received the power of the Holy Spirit. He went down onto the street. He opened up his mouth and language came out. And what happened? He was an influence. The fire spread and 3,000 people caught it that day. And that changes culture. And that's why we're on the planet. We're on the planet to make a difference. And it happens as we enter into this spiritual dimension and we surrender. We surrender our life. We surrender our decisions. We just surrender our calendar. We surrender to God's Spirit. We're constantly saying, Lord, I surrender. And to those people, he says, you will receive power. I want to thank those who have been praying. We've had a 21-day prayer time going on, and thank you to all of those who prayed. This last week, we had special gatherings at noontime to pray. They were beautiful, and I was here at noon on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday, I was speaking at a conference. But on Thursday, Pastor Levi was leading, and he said, let's invite the Holy Spirit. Let's surrender to the Holy Spirit. And let's see what the Holy Spirit would say to us or reveal to us. And while I was praying, I received a spiritual vision on Thursday, and it was a vision of our coastline. But if you've seen the news lately, you've seen the red tide has killed a lot of aquatic life, a lot of dead fish washed up on the shores. And here's what the Lord said to my heart. Those fish didn't even know that they were in danger. When they were breathing in that red tide, they didn't know they were in a toxic environment. And it killed them. He said, there are people in the church that are living close to the shore, living close to the world. And what the word came to my heart was encourage people to go deeper. Because 10 miles out, 20 miles out, I read a story. Hey, they're fishing. They're catching fish. The fish are happy out in the deep, in the water that was healthy. The ones that were huddled next to the shore were being wiped out. So living close in that lukewarm, close to the world place is a dangerous place. And the Spirit of God said, tell people to go deeper for their own safety, for their own soul. And then as I was receiving that from the Lord, a lady that was praying with us started just to sing a song that she made up. It had very simple words. The words were just repeated, and it just was what I was praying and receiving from the Lord on one side of the room. As she starts singing this song about, come into the living water. Come to the living water. She just sang it over and over. Come to the living water. The living water. So I just want to call you to go deeper, because there's living water in a place that you're not. But you've got to surrender your choice. You've got to surrender the time you're going to be there. And the time is now that you would go deeper in your spiritual life. That there would be a refreshing power of the Holy Spirit that would sweep us personally and sweep us corporately. And God would do a new work in our hearts and lives. For the glory of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. So we're going to pray, and we're going to close our eyes, open our hearts wide. And the first thing is, I just want to pray for people that would be living far away from God. We don't condemn you. Jesus doesn't condemn you. We love you, and Jesus loves you. He'd like you to be in the right place at the right time. And the right place for you, I absolutely promise you, is to be in God's family, close to Jesus. And the time is now, today, right now. And I'm going to lead in a simple prayer that we pray, a prayer of salvation, a prayer of inviting Christ into our hearts, a prayer that causes heaven to be our home and for us to walk with Jesus. And I'm just glad you're here today, and I want to pray that prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you, but I want to pray with you. And if you would say, Scott, that's what I need. I've been far away from God, and I would like to be in the right place at this time. Include me in this prayer. Then I'm just going to ask you to do two things. One is to raise your hand so I can see you. And then raise your eyes so we make eye contact, so I can acknowledge you. Because you matter to me. You matter to God even more than me. But I don't want to miss you in this moment of prayer, because I want to pray for you. So who would say, with all these around you, say, that's me. Would you pray for me today? Put your hand up high enough for me to see. And then let me make eye contact. Thank you very much. Thank you. I see you right there. Thank you. God bless you. I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together. Yes, thank you. I'm glad you're here today. Way over here. Thank you. Thank you for being. Thank you that you're here. I want that. Thank you. I see that. Yeah, I see him right there. Thank you very much. Thank you. Way over here. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Glad you're here. Wow. Thank you. Sorry. Thanks for waiting for me to get back over here. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. If your heart is beating fast, that's Jesus calling you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit coming on you to bring you to Jesus. And I don't want to miss one. I'm going to wait one more moment here I am. Pray for me as well today. Yeah. Okay. Thank God. So we're going to stand together. Let's do that together. Keep your eyes closed. Our prayer team is going to come and stand with me here at the front of the church. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. It's a family prayer. We all pray it together. I ask 100% of the people to pray it. Pray it in a good, strong voice so that God can delight in your good confession. Here's our prayer. Say it out loud with all the people around you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my heart and my soul to Jesus Christ. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I repent of my sins and I leave them behind. Today I make a brand new start. I am a follower of Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus, every day of my life. Thank you for loving me and never giving up on me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yeah, that's a good prayer and a strong confession. It's a good prayer. So, a few things. One is, if you're saying yes to God, please tell one of my friends, one of our prayer team, before you go. Also, you can text the number. Text the number that's on the screen, and you can receive a free ebook that we just want to help you spiritually. So if you text that number, we're going to just send you a free booklet to help you spiritually. Our prayer team is here to pray with people who are making a fresh start with God, but also to meet any need in this room. Maybe there are some issues of surrender. You need to come and pray. Maybe before you go, you need to just come and make this an altar of prayer for you to pray at and say, God, help me in my life. There are communion tables if you'd like to receive communion today. At the right-hand side and the left-hand side, there are the bread of the Lord and the cup of the Lord, just to remind you about what Jesus did on the cross and thank him for that. You can come and receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church, just a believer in Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer, just a friend of Jesus, and we'll pray. And let's pray, church, that the power of the Spirit changes people's lives. That the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to talk about in this series, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, meet people's needs. Because if there are needs here, then we're in the right place at the right time, and we can expect God's power to show up. Amen? That's just true. So I want to pray, and then our team is going to lead us, and there won't be anything else that I will do, but I want to bless you. And for this blessing, I'm going to open my hands towards heaven. This is a Bible way of praying. And in every nation on the earth, if you don't understand the language, this is, I surrender. So if someone sticks a gun in your ribs, I surrender. So we're surrendering. We can close our eyes so we don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you'd like to join in this prayer of surrender and this blessing, you can just open your hands towards heaven as, Lord, here are your sons and here are your daughters. And we are saying, I surrender all. I surrender my plans to your plans. I surrender my calendar to your direction. I surrender to the breath of your Spirit. In fact, I welcome, Lord, a fresh breath of your Spirit to breathe upon my soul. I surrender to the fire of the Holy Spirit. I surrender to a new passion to be born in my heart. I surrender my language. I surrender my communication to you, Lord. I surrender my life to your Spirit. And I pray the Lord will bless you and move you forward from this place in power. May the Holy Spirit do the work that He promises to do, which is to overwhelm you with His presence and with His power. In the strong, mighty name that's above every other name, we're praying these things. And we're coming forward for prayer. I just encourage you to come forward right now. We're coming forward for communion. I encourage you to come right now. Our worship team is going to begin just to lead us in worship.
Unless you come.